morning, everyone. I'll tell you my story of what happened this week, and you'll all say that I'm crazy, and you may be right. Within this last year, my Jenny, my donkey, she gave birth to a colt. I have lots of donkeys. I have lots of colts, as it turns out. And this one's just getting strong enough, ready to be ridden, ready to be used for work. So I have a choice. Am I going to keep this one or sell it? My wife immediately had opinions about this matter. She says, no more donkeys. No more animals in this house. No more sheep. No more goats. No more doves. Enough. Sell this colt. As it turns out, this is an excellent week to have to make that decision, because this is the week of the Passover. There will be tens of thousands of our people, the Jews, coming from all over the Roman Empire. They're going to pile into Jerusalem. They've been piling into the city for a month now. So if I go down to the holy city, I'll not only get to make a pilgrimage, I'll walk in on 10,000 people who might buy my young colt. So I put her on the end of the rope, and I head down to Jerusalem. I actually end up staying in Bethphage outside Jerusalem across the valley. You can't get a room inside Jerusalem during the Passover unless you arrive 1 or 2 months before. The problem with Bethphage and these hostels on the outskirts is they're not really set up for year-round service. The one I stayed at didn't even have a stable, so I had to tie my colt up outside by the door. And then inside, it's not private accommodations. On one side is a common room where all the women sleep. On another side is a common room where all the men sleep. And we're all Jews, but half of these people have never even been to Jerusalem, so they don't speak Aramaic that I can follow. And then in the middle, there's this common area where you take your meals. And you try to find someone you can halfway understand to have a conversation with. And unfortunately for me, the only person that I could find to talk with was this woman, who turns out to be crazy. She looks out the door. She sees my colt when I go to check on it. She says, oh, you have a young donkey. Yes. Are you going to give your donkey to the temple? No. No. She says, your donkey is young. It's never been ridden, has it? No. No, it's never been ridden. You know, she says, a donkey that has never been used for secular purposes can be used for holy purposes. Yes, I don't want to sell my colt at the temple because they consider it my privilege to be making an offering to God, so they don't pay very much for it. I came looking for a customer, somebody who wants something to ride, to pack supplies on, to pull a plow, something that will do some work. I don't want to give it to the temple. I don't want to, I say. She will not let up. You know, she says, King of Israel from the tribe of Judah may ride on your colt. She's referring to the good book, what you call Genesis 49. The scepter will not depart from Judah, that's one of our tribes, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants until the coming of the one to whom it belongs. The one whom all nations will obey, he ties his foal to a grapevine, the colt of his donkey to a choice vine. I'm a bit of a smart aleck, so I asked him, well, tell me, dear woman, which of our kings do you think will be riding my colt? Is it King Herod? He's not from the tribe of Judah, you know. He's not even a Jew. Or maybe you're referring to the Emperor Tiberius of Rome. She says, oh, you'll tempt the evil eye mentioning the name of that Gentile dog so close to the holy city. I don't mean Herod. And I don't mean the Emperor Tiberius. She says, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about, and I should have seen this coming, the Messiah. The Messiah will come and ride on the colt of a donkey. Ay, the Messiah. She's talking about the prophet Zechariah in what you call chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. That's the mountain where Jerusalem sits. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey. Even on a donkey's colt. I said, woman, I don't think the Messiah is coming this Passover. She said, you never know. God comes in unexpected ways. And then there's a commotion outside, which I'm glad to go investigate to get out of this conversation. I go to the door, and when I open the door, there are two young men, and they are untying my colt and holding on to the lead rope. Luckily, there are a couple of my Jewish brothers standing outside who say, hey, what are you doing untying this donkey? And I hear these young men straighten up. They look very stiff and nervous and say, the Lord has need of it and will return it soon. So the men who thankfully stopped them look to me. It's my colt. What's going to happen? And I hesitated. It's early in the morning. I don't know. I open the door, and the first thing I see is the holy city and the temple so overlaid with gold that it shines like a star on that mountain. And it's the Passover. And I'm standing on the Mount of Olives where the Messiah is supposed to return. And I've been having breakfast all morning with this crazy woman talking about kings and messiahs riding on my colt. And they say the Lord needs it. And I say, okay. They look really surprised. But they start down the road. The bystanders say, what was that all about? And I say intelligently, I don't know. And then the crazy lady comes out and she sees the guys walking down the road with my colt. She says, oh, you sold your donkey. Finally, thinking somebody will understand me, I say, no. Madam, I gave it. They said the Lord needed it, and I gave it to them. And she said, you're a fool. I said, you said I should give it to the service of the Lord. She said, I told you should sell it at the temple, not give it to two swindlers who come walking by with a story. I curse you. But she's right. I've been taken. I've been had. I come to my senses. I put on my cloak. I put on my stick. I'm going to go get my donkey back. So I follow down the road. They're a lot younger than I am. So by the time I catch up with them, they're in the next village down the road at Bethany. And I walk up on their camp, and there they are with my donkey. They're putting their cloaks over her back, and they're lifting up this young guy onto her back. He's like 30, 35. And as I come up, I hear them call him Rabbi. I don't know about you, but I don't go out much for young rabbis. I think young rabbis usually are just trouble. So I think I'm just going to go up and push this guy off my donkey and get him back. And then I realize he's surrounded by about 12 young men, and they look really keyed up and excitable. So I decided to do the first smart thing I've done all day and not go up there and get myself beaten to death. I'm just going to follow along, see what happens. So out onto the road we go, and it is packed. This is the last day before the Passover week begins, and there is just a solid column of people going up Mount Zion to the gates of Jerusalem. And we join right in. I'm following behind, waiting to see what's going to happen. And as people do on the day leading up to the Passover, everyone takes their cloaks off and they spread them out on the road in anticipation that the Messiah, the King, may come. And they break off branches from the sides of the road and they wave it in the air and they say, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us, God, save us. They're singing what I think you've come to call the 118th Psalm. Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And just then, our little column rides between a group of Roman soldiers guarding the road. Now's my chance. I can cry out, thief! Thieves! These men stole my donkey! But I don't. I know, but you have to understand my people. This is the Passover. This is the celebration of when Moses led our people out of slavery from our enemies, the Egyptians. And this song we're singing along the road, the psalm, it's a song written praying God would save us when we were in slavery to our enemies, the Babylonians. Now we're going up a road to Jerusalem, guarded by our enemies, the Romans. And there's the cult, and there's the enemies, and there's the season. And I think, what if this is the Passover that the Lord hears our prayer and comes to save us? How do I know? I know, I'm an idiot. I deserve to have all my animals stolen. We arrive in Jerusalem. The column has moved so slow. It's late afternoon by the time we get into the city. And the rabbi gets off my colt. Another chance, I could just go up, grab the rope, give me this back. But the guy who's leading the rope is this big Galilean guy. And I overhear them call him by his nickname, The Rock. Now, I don't know what it means in your time to go confront a big guy named The Rock, but in my time, that's not a good idea. Especially if he's packing a sword. He may chop your ear off. So I decide just to keep following, see what's going to happen. Have you ever been to a fair or a festival on the day before when they're still setting it up? You know, all the shopkeepers are putting out their tents and they're putting out their wares. It's just a flurry of activity. All the bakers are still baking everything they're going to be selling. The smells are filling the street. The children of all these newcomers, totally unattended, just running wild all over the fairgrounds, saying, oh, look at this, and oh, look what they have here this year, and we definitely have to come back here tomorrow for this. And the locals who live there, they just walk around in the street shaking their heads in amazement at how your hometown can change overnight when something like this comes to town. That's what these young men were doing, just walking around, looking around at all the festivities getting ready to happen. You have to go by the Roman fortress. As much as we hate it, it is impressive. Pontius Pilate sits there governing, and he calls in extra soldiers during the Passover because they can't have an uprising during this week, not where there's four times as many of us as there usually are. So all the Roman soldiers are out there trying to look very tough. They've got their breastplates and their cloaks and their helmets and their spears. And then we go down to the temple. Have you been to the temple? It's not just a building, you know. The temple is several city blocks. And there is everything in the temple during the Passover. There are pens and pens of animals because of all the sacrifices that we'll be offering. And there's stands where you can buy anything, trinkets, incense. And there are tables and tables of money changers because we're all coming from all over the Roman Empire. And we have this ridiculous coin that has a graven image on it, the face of the Emperor Tiberius, who claims to be God. It says so right on the coin. We can't use this in the temple. So you have all these money changers that can change out all these coins for temple coins. Well, these young men that I'm following, they're just moving around, chatting it up. Except for that rabbi. I watched him. He never said a word. He looked at the animal pens and the money changer tables. He just touched everything. But he never said a word. He paused a really long time and stared at the altar of sacrifice. I thought he looked sad. And then it was almost dark. There's nothing more to do, so they just left. I followed them out of the gates, back down the valley, up the Mount of Olives to Bethany, got to their camp. I could kind of hear them in the dark talking about, well, two of us ought to go and take this colt back that we borrowed. So I kind of came out of the dark and said, actually, I'm here. I can take it. They looked really surprised, grateful for this happy coincidence. And as the big guy, the Rock, hands me my rope, he says, the Lord thanks you. And I didn't know if he meant the Lord, his rabbi, or the Lord God. I walked back to Bethphage that night with my colt, feeling like I had been part of an overture. Have you ever been to a musical? Have you ever heard the overture? They play a little bit of every song that you're going to hear. Sometimes the lights will come up on the set pieces, and there might be a song, and you see some of the characters, you see the place where things are going to happen, and then the lights go back down, and the overture's over, and nothing's really happened, but you feel like you've seen hints. That's what this day felt like to me. It started with the stealing of my colt. And as we went up the road, it was like the chorusing as we're singing the songs of something to come. Blessed is the kingdom of our coming King David. Praise God in the highest heaven. And then the lights come up on the Roman fortress of Pontius Pilate in the temple. The scenes of some drama yet to be played out. But then, it's the end of the day. The lights go down, and we all go home. Felt like to me the first song ending. And it was. Because I did go back into Jerusalem the next day to sell this colt. And I went back to the temple, and that rabbi was in the temple again. Yeshua, they called him. You would call him Jesus. And what I saw unfold over the next several days around this young rabbi was the most terrifying, most exciting, most horrible, most wonderful thing I have ever seen. And I came to believe that day that this was in fact the Passover, that God had heard our prayers and come to save us, and my colt had in fact been ridden by the King. I would tell you that story, but you would only think I'm crazier than you already do. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them, and as soon as you enter it, you will see a colt tied there that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs it, and we'll return it soon. The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside a house. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that colt? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their cloaks on the road ahead of Jesus, and others cut leafy branches in the fields and spread them along the way. He was in the center of the procession, and the crowds all around him were shouting, Praise God! Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Bless the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in highest heaven. So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. He looked around carefully at everything, and then he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he went out to Bethany with his 12 disciples. And now we'll bring forward the Christ candle. The Christ candle will come up the road that we've made, represented by the cloaks and the palm branches. This is the candle that we used during the Christmas Eve service this last season. All the candles in the sanctuary, that service, were lit from the Christ candle as a sign of Christ's light going out into the world. This Friday, we'll have the Good Friday service, again at 6:45. We'll use this candle again. We will light all the candles in the room, there'll be a couple hundred of them, his light going into the world. But then we will read the story from the Gospel of Mark of the crucifixion, the trial, the death, the burial of Jesus. And as we do, we will extinguish the candles just a few at a time until there's only this one. And then we'll extinguish this candle, remembering that he died that day. We'll put a black shroud over the cross, remembering that he went into the tomb that day. And we leave the Good Friday service in mourning and in sadness. We know that a celebration is coming, but you must pass through the dark part of the story in order to see the light. Holy Saturday, there's no service, but it'll be for you the last days in your homes of your Lenten fasts, your last days of prayer for repentance during the season of Lent, your last day during the season of Lent to consider the suffering of Christ Jesus. And then, Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. Come at 9, come at 10:30, and we will celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.